Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Welcome to another edition of BS with CSR. My name is Blake Mitchmore. With me, as always, is Shane Shoemaker. Shane, what's happening, man?
Oh, man, just ready to talk this interesting week in pro wrestling. Very, very interesting week.
Well, Shane, we got a special guest tonight. Jimmy Corderas is back once again. Jimmy, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me back. And, yeah, pretty boring week, huh? Nothing happening at all, just, you know, status quo.
Yeah, man.
I'm kidding.
we got a big, shocking return to talk about, and we're about to get into it.
You and your husband, Triple H, have been really running this company into the ground. Let's take a few indicators. Let's look at the stock. Let's look at ratings. Let's look at the plethora of talent injuries, all under your watch, under your auspices, down into the ground.
Shane, Jimmy, another Shane came back to WWE after 6-7 years of being away. Shane McMahon is back, and not a person on the planet, if they're being honest with themselves, saw this coming.
No, I'll tell you what. If somebody says that they saw this coming, either they're not being totally honest or they really need to play the Powerball, because this came out of left field for everybody. Very interesting change in direction going into WrestleMania. Initial reaction was kind of, I look like that Undertaker guy after Undertaker lost to Mock. Like, whoa, I didn't see this coming, but... now that, you know, some time has set in and it's I don't think it's as bad as some people are making it out to be, because on social media I got a lot of mixed reaction.
I think the consensus was even when I watched it, I was kind of like, oh, that's cool, but I don't know how to really feel about it because it's so different, you know, because it all got out, you know, leaked out that, you know, the Undertaker was going to be facing someone not on the roster, and man, was that correct. I mean, people thought it was... People thought it was Kurt Angle. People thought it was Batista, Goldberg. No one saw Shane McMahon coming anywhere. I mean, but, you know, I'm like you, Jimmy. The more that I thought about it, you know, it's the story going from here could be really, really interesting because there's so many, you know, things we just don't know.
See, that's what intrigues me most about this is the story that's going to play out over the next 5 to 6 weeks, because we know, I mean, we don't know the details, but what you hear was that Shane left a few years ago. It wasn't on the best terms. Like, it wasn't like, oh, hey, I want to go do some other stuff. It was, things weren't, you know, jiving real well between him and Vince or him and Stephanie. So, I mean, and you saw hints of that, even though it was in a story or in a promo, you saw hints of that. He dropped hints that, you know, things aren't the way they should be, and maybe he needs to come back and take over again. And that's what, I mean, that's what intrigues me most. And, I mean, I'll let you guys comment, but for me, I've never watched a story with McMahon's involved that they didn't knock out of the park. One thing you can say about the McMahon's is they know how to tell a freaking story.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess it's in the DNA. It's got to be. I mean, it's incredible how it's filtered down from Vince to Shane to Stephanie. But at the same time, like you said, the story being told is going to be interesting going forward. And always, you know, the best storylines have elements of truth thrown into it. And obviously, you know, Shane threw some out there last night or on Monday night. And like I said, this is going to be interesting going forward, how this is going to play out. My question, of course, is this long-term or is it just a short-term program to lead only till WrestleMania or shortly after? That's going to be the question for me.
Yeah, the work shoot here definitely worked, and it's almost like you have to go that way nowadays because everybody knows so much, so you've got to include those little nuggets in nowadays. I don't know that the thing is, I don't think it's a perfect story enough that there is a perfect story in any storyline because, you know, you got the whole lockbox idea, you know, that Shane has, and I thought that was a little goofy, but again, with the McMahons, you know, there's these storylines sometimes, if you have good talent like the McMahons are, storylines, I mean, the talent can sell the whole angle. I mean, I think back to the HBK and JBL, you know, where Shawn Michaels was poor and JBL had to hire him. I mean, and then Michaels was coming out there with Under Armour sweaters on. I mean, come on. I mean, but, you know, the storyline was good because the talent was good, and it's the same way with this storyline.
Well, and you speak of storylines, the thing that I'm also intrigued about is, where does Undertaker fit into this? Because based on Shane's reaction and the fact that he's going head up with Vince again, and Vince chose Undertaker as Shane's opponent, to me that sets Taker up, you know, he's not going to, well, most likely he's not going to be a full-blown heel, but it sets Taker up in a heel role, which is very interesting and kind of makes me more interested in it, because that's not a role we've seen Taker in very much lately.
No, even against Brock, it was more of a subtle type heel thing as opposed to a really overt heel. And again, like you said, we haven't heard from him yet. Maybe we don't hear from him for a little while to find out exactly how he plays into this whole thing, whether it's he does it willingly or he does it because Vince is holding maybe his career and his legacy over his head to enforces him into this. We don't know, you know, what direction that's going to take yet. So, again, another layer to the story that I'm looking forward to finding out where it goes.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see the reactions once we finally get to this match at Mania. And not only that, but, like, to me, this will be, you know, compared to other years where Taker's never there, you know, on Raws or SmackDown. This year, I think we got, like, 5 weeks or so to get to Mania now. I think Undertaker's at least on 2 to 3 episodes and maybe even a SmackDown. I think you have to with the way this storyline's going.
I would agree with that. You have to have him there because, I mean, I guess potentially if he just fits in and he's working with Vince, maybe not. But, you know, you have an element where maybe Vince has something over on Taker or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of story to tell here, so I agree, Shane. You got to go at least out of the 5 Raws left. I would say you need to see Taker in some form or fashion in at least 2, possibly 3. To me, I'll say this: you've got he's not going to be on SmackDown tonight, or you would have heard about it. Or so you got 10 shows left. Taker's got to. For me, I need to see Taker on half of them.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say so.
But, Jimmy, you mentioned a second ago whether this is a long-term story or just till WrestleMania, and that's going to take us into our next topic because there's already some, you know, scuttlebutt and some news going on, possibly a brand extension coming, and there's even events that make it seem like it's going to happen. Last night in the storyline, Shane said, I want control of Raw, which would, you know, lead you to believe a possible brand extension is coming. And then today, photos surface of Ticketmaster's website where they're advertising a Raw in May where it says something to the effect of Monday Night Raw versus WWE, could be SmackDown, could be something else. That leads me to believe that, you know, maybe not possibly long-term or possibly negative, but we're going to see some sort of a brand extension coming up in the next couple of months after WrestleMania. What do you guys think about that?
I'm a big proponent of the so-called brand split or brand extension, whatever moniker you want to put on it. As someone who got to live it back in the 2000s when it was actually, I think, working effectively, what it does is it gives more talent an opportunity to appear on television. Obviously, Raw is going to be the flagship show. There's no doubt about that. But if you're having the same talent on Raw in that 3 hours appearing on your 2-hour SmackDown, that doesn't leave a lot of room for others to grow and expand their characters and get, FaceTime with the WWE Universe to help them get over. And so for me, having two specific brands and just having guys specific to those brands would not only help talent, I think it would also help the two secondary titles. You can have the IC title, the focal point on one show, the U.S. title being the main title on the other show, and maybe the World Heavyweight Champion becomes almost like a special attraction back in the days when Hogan was champion, or even like Brock was champion in more recent times, where he appears infrequently but can appear on both shows.
That would be my thing. I'm perfectly fine with the brand extension too, but I think that for me, you got to go back to that old school brand extension that you were part of where we don't need 2 world champions. Just give me 1 right now. Make the other titles more important again for the first time in a very long time and have that 1 champion that you know, maybe he's not on Raw every single week. Maybe he's not on SmackDown every week. Make it feel special when he shows up on that show.
Yeah, well, yeah, that, you know, also they've got a lot of talent coming back from injury, you know, not long after Mania too. I mean, you know, Cena's going to be coming back, you know, sometime. Rollins will be coming back. Cesaro will be coming back, you know, and especially guys like Cesaro definitely need a shot to be bumped up a little bit. So if you had a brand extension, I think that would work perfectly for him. I mean, plus it really stuck out to me that, you know, Shane actually said, you know, I want Raw. So where this kind of goes from here, I mean, it kind of leads you to believe maybe there would be a brand extension somehow, but definitely agree that you've got to focus just on one world title, though. You can't have, I mean, two world titles again because it doesn't make any sense. It belittles them, but as far as having the brand split goes, SmackDown, you can't belittle it, though, and I think that's why they're wanting to try to elevate that, and that's why I think the brand split, they may ultimately want that now.
Yeah, and here's something that just popped in my head. A lot of stuff pops in my head, but anyway. you know, not to foreshadow too far ahead, but let's just say that for shiggles that, you know, Shane does end up, you know, in control of Raw and Hunter is out of the picture, and we all know that Triple H is the driving force behind NXT. Maybe we get a little invasion from the NXT crew to kind of try to take over Raw, so to speak, and maybe introduce those guys to a bigger audience that doesn't get to see them, that only see them on the WWE Network.
Well, and what you know, to piggyback even further off that idea, what you could have is Shane, Stephanie, and Triple H all vying to, quote, take over the company, with Shane controlling Raw, Stephanie controlling SmackDown, and Triple H controlling NXT, and they're all fighting. I mean, and I think that's a great idea because it elevates those NXT guys to another level and makes them not look like minor leagues, makes them look on the same level, which is what you need if you're going to make them a full-time touring brand or, you know, possibly even one day take them off the network and get them on cable TV to make even more money. They need to feel like they're on the same level as Raw and as SmackDown.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to get too far off the subject here, but, you know, I've always thought for a while now that, you know, if they kind of have a brand split, I mean, I think Triple H needs to almost get off the main roster and just kind of have him, if he's going to be a character, be just on NXT, because everyone thinks of him as NXT now. Honestly, I think that's one of the reasons why he's got such a face reaction. I mean, the guy's like, he's always taking pictures with all these guys. I mean, and it's all these people like the Marks, you know, the insiders know. I mean, to me, why not have him just be NXT? I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. Plus, going back to Blake's point about making the NXT guys feel on a par with the guys on the main roster, that they did do that with Kevin Owens when they introduced him to the main roster. Didn't work out so well with a guy like Neville or Tyler Breeze, but with Kevin Owens it did work because, you know, he comes in, he beats the big dog, John Cena. Now he feels like he's, you know, on a par with everybody there and can beat pretty much anybody there. So he fits right in. That's what's needed, I think, like you said, Blake.
Hey, Jimmy, let me ask you, from your experience in the brand extension in the past, and one of the reasons a brand extension really intrigues me with the current injury problems they've had, doesn't that get talents off the road an extra day? Certain talents?
Depending on the schedule, sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. But because of the TV schedule where Raw would you obviously go live on Monday, SmackDown taped on Tuesdays, the Raw crew would begin their tour on Friday and do, you know, house shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday, TV, Monday. The SmackDown crew would start on Saturday and do Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Sometimes Monday would be off depending on if they needed guys at TV or whatever, and then Tuesday and then home on Wednesday. So now with the guys appearing on both shows, it's conceivable that guys get that extra day on the road and be on the road 5 days as opposed to four.
Okay. I mean, you know, with the rash of injuries they had, if they could work out a schedule to get, you know, even majority of the talent off an extra day, that's another benefit to doing it also.
Absolutely. Agreed.
All right. Well, we are officially on the road to WrestleMania, and we got to talk. Our top three matches are made, and we got to talk about it next. Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. All right. It looks like the top three matches are set for WrestleMania. Jimmy, I'm not sure that they're going to – I know what they want to achieve with the main event. They want Roman to have his WrestleMania moment, or at least that's what we think. But based on the reaction we had on Raw, I'm not sure they're going to get it.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one because I'm in that camp where I think that the crowd could potentially just really, really crap on Roman Reigns because they've already got their mind made up. Maybe the best course of action going off of Monday's beatdown by Triple H, who, by the way, again, a little sidetrack here, almost played up to the crowd kind of babyface style with the DX chop and kind of giving them what they want. Because heels don't normally give the crowd what they want, and that's what heels do. But that being said, after that beatdown on Monday night that looked really, really brutal and reminiscent of the one Daniel Bryant received, again, from Triple H going into WrestleMania when he had his big WrestleMania moment, what I would like to see happen, and you know, I know we talked earlier about Undertaker having to appear to help sell his match, I would rather that Roman Reigns sit on the sidelines, and now the question mark becomes, was the beating too harsh? And that go-home Raw before WrestleMania, have him come out and beat the living tar out of Triple H, similar to what Ricky Steamboat did to Ric Flair back when they were fighting over the U.S. title in Mid-Atlantic, you know, where Ricky Steamboat tore the suit off of Ric Flair and just beat the living crap out of him. And that would be the last thing we see, the last image we see going into WrestleMania. And maybe, hopefully, that'll sway some of the people to Roman Reigns' side because right now, maybe keeping him off TV and having that one moment will help do that. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm not saying it would. I'm just saying maybe.
You know, that's a really good idea, and it's something that may not be that hard to actually pull off and to sell because – Roman, it seems like Roman legit broke his nose last night, and you could just sell it as that it was really bad, and that he's not going to be, you know, he's going to have to be on the sidelines for a few weeks.
Well, it'd be a good move to get him off TV because I don't know if you've looked at the schedule from here on out, but it's like a murderer's row for like, you know, the marked crowds here. I think they go to Philadelphia, they go to Chicago, and there's another one I can't remember.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, the list is...
It's Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
I think they're on the schedule, so...
Oh, it's a brutal schedule. So, I mean, it's one of those, like, maybe WWE's smart if they get him off TV until maybe that final week. That's a very good idea, Jimmy. I agree with you on that. And I'm kind of like you also in the way Triple H, you know, he did the DX crotch chopped thing. Because Triple H didn't... He's one of those guys, he obviously hasn't forgot how to work, and he hasn't forgot how to work a crowd, and he knows how to get reactions. So, Jimmy, I guess what I'm maybe going to ask you, do you think they're like, they're not even trying to fight it anymore? They're just going to be like, yeah, maybe we want to go this route with Triple H? Like, keep him in the face?
Well, I think it's almost like, I know some of the criticisms I've heard, Triple H should know better than to pander to the crowd, but that's who he has been his entire career. Mm-hmm. Whether he's a babyface or a heel, that's who Triple H has been. It just depends on, I guess, the crowd mood at the time, whether they like him or not. I think it was more along the lines of, it was more of a dislike for Roman Reigns as opposed to we're siding with Triple H as the babyface here. I think it was more an anti-Roman Reigns sentiment, that's all.
Yeah.
All right, well, our second match that got made on Raw this week was Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar. On one hand, I think it's really good for Dean Ambrose because it sets Dean up to be a major player after WrestleMania. But on the other hand, it kind of doesn't – I don't know how it fits with Brock, but I think they made a great decision on Raw by making it a street fight because it allows Dean to hit Brock in the nuts for the 17th time in the last, you know – since that's his favorite move, use chairs, use weapons. And that's what a guy like Dean's going to – it helps Dean, you know, maintain his lunatic, crazy character, and it also makes it somewhat believable that a guy that is so much smaller than Brock Lesnar could possibly win.
I absolutely agree with that. And not flash back a little bit to Sunday when you look at the triple threat at Fastlane. People forget, they talk so much about Dean Ambrose hitting both Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar with the chair shots leading into the finish, but what a lot of people have forgot about is that Brock Lesnar went through two announce tables before that as well. So using that element of the no disqualification street fight thing is a best course of action, I think, to make it believable that Dean Ambrose actually has a shot at beating Roman Reigns, because let's be honest, if it was a straight wrestling match, would anybody believe it?
Yeah, and Dean's crazy enough, he's going to do something just off the wall anyway, and Lesnar's going to throw him through whatever he can. I'm sure there's going to be some crazy spots in that match, but I'm like you guys, they had to make this no DQ, no holds barred, whatever, to make it believable, and, you know, just because, you know, there's just no way you can believe that, and I don't know, I'm buying into this match. I've bought into this match since the Fastlane build. To me, that Fastlane build was all about this match. I mean, you know, they just kind of took Roman out of that completely. It might be one of those matches to me that kind of sells Mania. I don't know if anyone else is like that, but I mean, I'm interested. I think there's going to be a great story. I mean, before Raw even started, they had him beat him up in the parking lot just brutally. I mean, that was one of the best parts of the show. I thought it wasn't even technically on the show. I don't know. I like this feud a lot, though.
Yeah, I do too. The one thing I'll say about this match is I feel like it cannot be a PG street fight. I mean, it doesn't need to be, you know, necessarily Attitude Era where it's just gore, but you got to find the line between those two where they can get violent, because that's what you're going to have to make it believable that Dean has a shot to topple this beast. And, I mean, Shane, I think you're right. I think I don't know if it sells Mania for me personally, but I think the story is going to be great because, I mean, Ambrose cuts a great promo, and, of course, he's going to be cutting promos against arguably the best promo guy possibly ever. So, I mean, the story in the next 5 weeks is going to be fantastic.
And to your point, Shane, you got to remember, too, that Dean Ambrose just acquired one of the coveted spots at WrestleMania, because if you look at all the coveted spots at WrestleMania, it's obviously the World Championship match. Undertaker, who's going to face Undertaker WrestleMania, and now, because he's such a larger-than-life personality and such a special attraction, who gets Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, so you gotta like that, too.
Yeah, well, there's those three main events, you know, Mania's kind of built around anyway, so, and it's cool to see Dean elevated that high, you know. I guess I've heard flack kind of from people, though. I guess on Twitter, the only thing I've seen is like, you know, is Lesnar heel here or what is he? You know, but to me, Lesnar's just Lesnar. You know, there's no, it's Brock Lesnar. There's nothing like him in WWE and nothing anywhere else. I mean, so that's what makes him.
Well, yeah, Lesnar is that shade of gray.
Day when Gordon Solie used to refer to Roddy Piper as an island unto himself. He wasn't really a babyface. He wasn't a heel. He was Roddy Piper, and that's in a different way. I think maybe that's what Brock Lesnar is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. To me, he is that shade of gray that you hear that Vince wants everybody to be. No, not heel, not face. That is Brock Lesnar. He is right stuck in the middle. He's a heel that he's almost like, in a sense, he's almost like Austin was. He's a heel that he's really a heel, but the fans love him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've talked about two of the main events. We talked about the story that's going to go with Shane versus Undertaker, but now I want to talk about the match, because I'll be honest, when I first heard this on Raw, my first reaction was, really? We're really going to do Shane versus the Undertaker? And because you're used to Undertaker wrestling Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, all these great in-ring people, and not to say that Shane's ever had a really bad match, but Shane's not a great wrestler, you know, bell to bell. Then I got to thinking about it, and there's so many possibilities that can come out of this match. I mean, you know, Shane's going to do some kind of, if Shane's coming back to do a match, he's going to do some kind of crazy bump that's going to just make the crowd go nuts. There's going to be surprises. You know, to me, this match is going to be what Sting versus Triple H at WrestleMania was last year. This is going to be the match where there are multiple surprises in it that, you know, help dress up the fact that we've got a 50-year-old and a 46-year-old that never wrestled on a regular basis and hasn't wrestled in about 10 years.
Yeah, I kind of foresee a little bit of smoke and mirrors happening in this one, but you, of course you mentioned Undertaker having matches with Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Undertaker throughout his career has wrestled a vast majority of his opponents, different styles. He can do any style, but he's also a master of storytelling and psychology in the ring. So as far as drama and getting fans invested during this match, I don't have any question that that's going to happen. And when you bring up a big-time moment from Shane McMahon, obviously we remember some of them, like falling off the Titantron at SummerSlam. I was standing at the bottom there watching him come down from like 40 feet. The guy's like, my prediction, I'm going to give it right now, that he's going to do something that rivals, I'm not going to say it's going to top it, but it's going to rival what Mick Foley did at Hell in a Cell 97.
So do you think they get on top of the cell then? Do you think it's possible? I mean, because to me, the cell is so big now. It's like Hell in a House. It's not Hell in a Cell. It's Hell in a House now. So it's just massive. So, I mean, I don't know if – I mean that's a long jump now. I mean, I don't know. That'd be tough.
I do. Yeah. I think I think Jimmy's dead on. He's taking a bump off the cell or he's taking a bump through the cell, one of the two.
Yeah, I can see a recreation of that choke slam through the cell. I hope he doesn't try going through the announce table a la Mick Foley, but I'm fearful that it's going to be something outrageous.
Oh, I absolutely think I don't think he would come back and do a WrestleMania match without doing some kind of crazy bump, and you can't go from Hell in a Cell to do a bump off the entranceway like you said you were at the bottom of. It's got to be something off the cell.
Yeah, that's what I think. We're not going to see collar elbow tie up headlock takeover. That's
Well, the heights, literally, especially in Shane McMahon, they're relentless in how far the McMahons will go in this. I mean, my thing was, I mean, I remember going back to WrestleMania 22 and, you know, thinking of Vince and HBK, and I never thought that match was going to be that good at all, but it ended up being, I think it got like PWI like match of the year, so who's to say this can't do the same thing? I mean, Shane's a whole lot better wrestler, so the possibilities are endless in this match.
Well, it goes back to what Jimmy just said, I mean, and he said it about Undertaker, but it's true about all the McMahons. The McMahons, just like Undertaker, are masters in telling a story, and they will. This match will be, to me, not from a wrestling standpoint, but from just a pure entertainment and drama standpoint, this match will be the best of the night because the McMahons know how to tell a story, and so does Undertaker.
Exactly. You're not going to have a super kick party. You're not going to have a Meltzer driver. You're not going to have any of that stuff. But you're going to have a lot of drama, and you're going to have a lot of really good storytelling, I think. I'm convinced that even with maybe a little, like we said earlier, a little smoke and mirrors, they're going to tell a pretty good story and get people emotionally invested in this match.
Okay, now let's talk about the smoke and mirrors for a second, because people thought, I mean, and I was one of them. I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago saying that I thought for sure Cena was going to surprise everybody again. So people think Cena could come out in this match. Because of Shane's storyline, ownership of WCW, people have mentioned, even though Sting may not be able to wrestle, Sting coming out and doing something physical with Undertaker. I know it's 6 weeks away, but if I had to put you on the spot for some sort of smoke and mirrors, what would it be?
That would be a good guess, seeing that Cena seems to have found the Weapon X program or just his Wolverine-like abilities. He is truly, truly a freak of nature. That would be my guess. What I'd like to see, though, even though Cena seems to be, you know, I don't want to say consensus pick, but a lot of people are thinking that he might be the guy who shows up early. I'm hoping that it's someone along the lines of Cesaro, because I could see Shane getting behind a guy like Cesaro and helping elevate him to the next level, because, you know, and it could lead back to that whole Steve Austin podcast where the whole brass ring that Vince kept alluding to, and that Cesaro was lacking something, you know what I mean? So maybe that's a good choice if he's ready to go.
Well, even, and I don't think he'd possibly be ready to go, but is there any possibility of maybe a Seth Rollins, you know, because he was with the Authority, and maybe he's coming back to be, you know, with Shane McMahon now. Do you think there's any possibility of that happening too?
I honestly don't think so from a physical standpoint, because right. that knee is going to need – he's probably – I've heard probably around June for him. Be up that long, so SummerSlam is a more realistic target for him, I think.
You know, Jimmy mentioned a super kick party just a minute ago. The thing that intrigues me that I think it was our old pal Justin Labar mentioned today is, what if, you know, if Shane's going to come back and be the face or the guy that runs Raw, what if Shane is the catalyst that introduces, you know, whatever they're going to call the Bullet Club, but the Bullet Club?
Yeah.
That would be an interesting take. Mind you, I would join them and change the name to Buffet Club, but that's a different story altogether. Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, before we let you go tonight, we're going to ask one more question. Obviously, Shane versus Undertaker was a massive surprise for WrestleMania. We're 6 weeks out right now. Do you think this is the only major surprise, or do we see something else? I mean, you know, we know Austin's probably going to be there in some form. Rock's going to be there. Is there somebody else that we're not seeing that you think could show up at WrestleMania?
I'm thinking there might be somebody, but I can't see anybody that would really shock the world as much as what happened Monday night will. Unless it's in a non-wrestling capacity, maybe a Goldberg, because I heard rumors that there was, because his DVD sold really well and there was a lot of interest in him, maybe he shows up to do something. I don't know, but the only other possibility is, since he's going to be there anyways to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, maybe Sting lends his hand into something at WrestleMania.
The only one, and just because they're kind of, you know, I know his Blu-ray's coming out soon, is Eric Bischoff. I don't think he had anything to do with, you know, Shane and Taker or anything like that, but I could see him being in some capacity. You know, I don't know what, but I mean, maybe just a visual of him or some kind. That I could possibly see.
All right. Well, Jimmy, we appreciate you hopping on with us again, talking a little Shane O'Mac, talking a little WrestleMania. We'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Had fun, guys. Appreciate it.
Oh, I'm out of snow. Bullshit, 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 bullshit. No drinks for me, thanks. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit.
All right, it wouldn't be an episode of BS with CSR if we didn't give you the BS of the week. And it just so happens that this week's BS of the week is really Fastlane, because there was just some stuff in that show that just didn't click. Shane, what was yours?
Yeah, you know what? My honest problem with it is, you know, everyone is complaining about Roman Reigns winning the match. Did we not see this coming? I mean, you know, did we not see this coming all along? I mean, WWE has invested all this money into Roman Reigns. Now, granted, it may not be the best thing for them right now, but they've invested all this time, all this money. It's like any other thing, you know, any other company has done. It's like Apple making the iPhone. If something comes out about the iPhone, once you buy it and, like, the program's not right with it, they can't just stop making the iPhone. They make upgrades and adjustments to it, much like they're trying to do with this Roman Reigns deal. You can't just stop this, you know, this thing that they've invested all this money in. You just can't do that. And you saw it coming.
I agree.
Just accept it.
I agree with you in principle, but I don't think the iPhone was ever universally hated like Roman.
No. I mean, that was just an example. I mean, maybe I should have used the Sega Saturn that everyone hated. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but everyone hated that. But still, you can't deviate from the plan. But
what the hell was the Sega Saturn?
Exactly. Only nerds know that. So maybe you should you should look that stuff up.
What the Sega Saturn? I honestly have no idea what that was. But to you, yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's just the world we live in now. Everybody right. wants to bitch about something, but you knew this was coming. It was obvious, so go bitching. Now, something that's like, what in the blue hell are we doing with Bray Wyatt? So now we spent this time building up the Wyatt family, trying to make them look, you know, big badass, you know, after they got dominated by Kane and Undertaker. You know, we've slowly tried to make them look pretty good. And then we put together this ragtag group of titans in Ryback, Kane and Big Show, and they beat the Wyatt family. And now, I mean, I get it. Ambrose has earned the spot, but now what the hell is Bray Wyatt going to do at WrestleMania? If Bray Wyatt, I'll tell you this right now. If Bray Wyatt is in the damn Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, that is absolutely ridiculous. If Bray Wyatt has to fight somebody like Ryback, that is absolutely – although Ryback, I guess, kind of turned heel on Raw, so that wouldn't work. So maybe that's out. But what is Bray Wyatt doing now? What are you doing with Bray Wyatt? Why? Why does this guy always rise up a little bit and then basically get kicked back down to the bottom? I don't get it.
Well, I'm going to ask you first. Are you going to stop watching wrestling like you've claimed before or on other things if any of those things happen with Bray Wyatt? Will you stop watching wrestling?
I forget every single – I know I claimed like four different things, and one of them probably happened. I don't remember what they were. I may have to go back and listen. But, no, I'm not going to quit watching wrestling.
Okay, I was just making sure. But, no, I agree with you on that. I mean, totally. And plus, you know, the next night on Raw, you know, we get the 50-50 booking, you know, then the Wyatt family gets the win there. I mean, it's just – I'm like you. I don't understand why this guy always, like, it's – he's got this – I don't know. You just don't know what he is anymore. I mean, I don't even look forward to him anymore, honestly. And I love the Bray Wyatt character. It's great. I mean,
you've got these three monsters with him. This guy should be. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn what people say. People say that character doesn't. This guy should be in the main event mix. He's got three monsters. He should not be losing. He should be, you know, forcing his way into the WWE Championship picture. I don't get it, and if, like I said, if Bray Wyatt is in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, or he fights freaking Big Show or some garbage like that, or fights in a tag match, I'm going to make Shane quit watching wrestling.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
I would love to do a show one time. This is show 24, and I haven't been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to do a show one time where I don't get a headache or I don't feel my blood pressure rising, but I can't. I'm so passionate about wrestling that I always get frustrated. So that's it for this week. Big thank you to Jimmy Corderas for coming on. Make sure you're reading his blogs on CSRWrestling.com. Make sure you're following Shane at SShoemaker24. Make sure you're following me at Blake Mitchmore. We'll be right back here next week giving you what's up in the world of wrestling. Sunset.
This public service message was brought to you by your friends from D-Generation X, who would like to remind each and every one of you that if you're not down with that, we've got